Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Okay, Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The debt ceiling debate not only reflected the deep divisions in Washington, but it really showed a real and fundamental divide here in the U.S. between people who say government needs to be whittled down dramatically and those that say that doing so only worsens our problems. James Rink is the Kent County Democratic Party chairman. He wrote he wrote about the topic today on MLive.com, and he joins me now. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Thanks for inviting me, Mike.
Now, your position in your essay was that the debt ceiling debate, and when it comes to those that are considering this balanced budget amendment, they're being completely unrealistic in light of the role that the federal government plays. How do you explain the argument that keeping robust spending during this downturn is the right thing to do?
Well, it's what virtually all major economists tell us. I mean, if you ever read the New York Times online or in paper, Paul Krugman has been talking a lot about this, and he's a guy who just won the Nobel Prize for economics. It's something called the paradox of thrift. In other words, since consumption is 60% of the economy, if we press down and reduce consumption, there's almost no way for the economy to make a comeback. That's the simple way to explain it.
Now, when you see groups like the Tea Party, I mean, the fundamental argument is that, look, everybody knows that you can't spend more than you take in or you end up in deep trouble. Why does that argument not work when you talk about the federal government?
Well, that's the paradox of thrift idea. That's a major economic theory. The problem with that is, as I pointed out and tried to be reasonable, said, look, the government isn't your family. The government isn't your business. Different rules go with government financing. And to judge by all the comments I got in one day, people still don't get it. You know, oh, I can't run up my credit card, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, the fact of the matter is the government does that, did it fairly, did it in World War II. Now, the idea is you want to continually increase your debt to a point where it becomes insurmountable? No. But do we want to increase debt if necessary to get the economy going? Absolutely. I mean, what is it? The American Association of Architects has given the infrastructure, at least in Michigan or maybe the country, a D grade. I mean, we got bridges we need to replace. We got highways that are falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way for economic growth to occur, and it's like living in your own family house. You know, if the roof caves in, not much is going to get done, to use that analogy. But so what you have to do, we kind of like when FDR was running the country in the Great Depression. We've got opportunities. We got things that need to be done. If we put people to work, we immediately get at least a partial return on the investment in terms of taxes.
I'm talking to James Rink. He's the chairman of the Kent County Democratic Party. Now, the issue of spending is that revenue obviously needs to be increased. Republicans have made one thing clear, is that they are 100% opposed to new taxes, especially on businesses and the wealthy. Isn't the underlying argument that businesses create jobs and that burdening them with additional taxes only hampers them essentially true?
It's an argument, but it's insane. I mean, if you think about it, the oil company, we eliminated the tax breaks for the oil companies. I don't forget, that's 40 how many billions of dollars. These people made hundreds of millions in profits. ExxonMobil paid no taxes in 2009. None. So what's happened is since 1950, we're paying the lowest tax rate since then. We've let, you know, the Bush tax cut added trillions to the economy, and by that theory, if the Bush tax cuts are lowering taxes, people will create jobs, worked, we should be in boom times. The fact is, we're not. And a part of the problem was it was combined with a lack of economic regulation. Wall Street went berserk with bad investments. To put it in perspective, the chairman of Lehman Brothers, before Lehman went under, hid $50 billion worth of loans. $50 billion. That's borrowing the state budget of Michigan. He hasn't even been prosecuted. That's the kind of stuff that was going on. So you had a government that wasn't paying any attention to regulation, letting people do whatever they want. There is a role for government, and part of the problem with the Tea Party is, well, the government's all bad and all that. That's silly, and that's wrong.
There's been quite an uproar here in Michigan over the Republican agenda, which is setting the stage for the most business-friendly tax and regulatory environment in decades. What happens if the Snyder Plan works and businesses do, in fact, begin investing in the state? Won't that prove that this type of policy is the true path to the recovery?
Not necessarily. I mean, we were starting to trend upward frankly, before Snyder took office. And now the unemployment has gone up in part because we're cutting off so many government employees who do work and do pay taxes and contribute to our economy. So the problem you've got there is a lot of what's happened in Michigan is the auto industry has made a recovery. Not as strong as perhaps as we'd like it yet, but, you know, without the government intervention, it would have all gone under, including Ford, all the parts people. We'd have 25% unemployment in this state. So when we look at it that way, is it cause and effect? Well, that's kind of what I tried to address in the essay, saying, look, you know, you've got to start from the first. You've got to start from a logical principle. Can you compare this to this? You know, the so-called apples to oranges. Well, you can't necessarily compare them and get a legitimate result. Likewise, and to be fair, governors and even presidents have limited effects on the economy. They can do so much to increase jobs. Part of it may be, you know, you don't want the government to get too much in the way, but at the same time, if the government doesn't do something, we end up like with, you know, the great food, you know, we're not inspecting food places, and we're having huge cases of food poisoning and people dying because of it.
Well, when you see our current economic situation, what can the government really do to spur jobs at this point?
At this point, the only thing I think the government can do, I mean, it's lowered interest rates as far as it can. It's tried to be reasonably friendly with business. What it can do is say, hey, we need a public works in this country. We have a third world infrastructure. Cell phones, the towers don't, you know, cell phone reception is far worse than it is in China. Our roads are terrible. Our bridges are falling apart. This is happening all over the country, in part because we've reduced taxes so much. Why don't we say, look, let's do public works. We've got to do this stuff anyway. Why not do it now? Get people working. That's easy enough.
When you see the conservative lashback to your position and the fiery Tea Party movement that seems to be fed up with any kind of compromise when it comes to compromising on our budget, do you think that things are likely to get worse before they get better?
Well, you know, part of politics has always been that you've got to work with other people. And what's happened over the years, in part because the districts have been drawn the way they have and all this stuff, is there's now no overlap. If you ever read Inside Michigan Politics, the political journal, the newsletter, there's no Democrat conservative enough to overlap with a moderate Republican in the Michigan legislature. There's, if one is the most liberal Democrat and 100 is the most conservative Republican, the Republicans go out to about 20, maybe 30, if you're lucky. The Democrats might go up to about 50, 55 on that, about on that scale. I'm sorry, you got about 55 and then 75 to 100 on the Republican scale. It makes for a lack of compromise, and, you know, you can see what the Republicans are doing. What are they more concerned about? Cutting people off welfare. I mean, we're going to see people frozen to death this winter. Because we've said, look, we're not going to pay, we're cutting off welfare, we're cutting off unemployment, and there are not an abundance of jobs that people can take. Now, just from a humanitarian standpoint, what does that tell us about the Republicans?
Well, the reality, though, is that this group of lawmakers were swept into office by Michigan voters. I mean, this was the choice that the voting public made, and now they're executing pretty much what they said they were going to do. So isn't this ultimately the will of the people?
I don't know. It's kind of like who shows up. 0.6 million Democratic voters didn't show up last time. I think about in the 2008, 0.2 or 0.3 million Republican voters didn't show up. I don't know that, frankly, the voters were, shall we say, sophisticated enough to say, well, if this happens, people may die because we're going to starve to death or lose their homes and freeze to death and all that. I think they said, well, less government. That sounds good. My life isn't what I'd like it to be. Mm-hmm. I don't think the voters engaged in a sophisticated cause and effect under reasoning scenario before they voted. People were angry. They took it out on the people they thought had done it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often true, you know, and it's kind of like if you read some of the history books, one of my favorite titles is The Paranoid Style in American Politics. This Tea Party group has always been there, whether they were John Birchers or whatever they happened to be. They elected some of their people who proceeded to go to Lansing and Washington and pretty much embarrass themselves. And I guess we, at least on the Democratic side, have to think maybe people will say, hey, this isn't what we really bargained for. But, you know, now that they're in charge, the question is, will the governor go along with all of their stuff? I guess a good example is the bridge to Canada. You know, the Canadian government has said, we're not going to let the Maroon build another bridge. So we got a choice between building a bridge we really need with virtually no cost to taxpayers or doing nothing because we don't like government. Well, if that's what the Tea Party philosophy is, it's really sort of a political nihilist philosophy.
James Rink, he's the Kent County Democratic Party chairman. Thank you very much for joining me, James.
Thanks.